Manny Malhotra on the bench in Toronto, Freege. How did this all come together?
I think we're still trying to determine that exactly, Jeff. Like, I know I'm supposed to be like the insider. I'm not very inside on this one, I have to tell you, yet. It hasn't been announced yet, but it is going to happen. He is coming to Toronto staff. It's supposed to be announced today, from what I understand. Malhotra obviously is from Toronto, or at least the area. His wife's family is from BC. So we'll see if there was any desire on his behalf to come back here, or it was simply the opportunity that opened up for him. I'm still scrambling a bit for details, but I know it's going to happen.
The first person I thought of was Bruce Boudreau, to be honest with you, because I think a lot of people were sort of holding out hope that may end up going to Boudreau. Boudreau saying, the only team that I would go to in an assistant capacity would be Toronto. He's, you want to talk about the local guy, that's him growing up playing hockey at George Bell Arena over at Kiel and St. Clair. That was where the heart was, but is the Malhotra signing where the head was for the Maple Leafs?
Well, I still think there was a good reason to hire Boudreau from a head point of view, I guess. He's a creative offensive guy. He's passionate about the Maple Leafs. Like, I don't think the idea of hiring Boudreau was anything that was simply, emotion and not there's some intelligence factor behind it. I thought it would have been a really creative choice. And I'm going to tell Bruce you were insulting him on this show, Jeff, just so you know that. I think the Malhotra thing, the thing about Malhotra, I remember I put together a piece a few months ago on the 2011 Canucks. And one of the things that really stuck out for me on that piece was Alain Vigneault talking about the conference call where they, during the free agent period, where they spoke to when they spoke to Malhotra about coming to Vancouver. And Malhotra was asking questions like, can these guys take honest feedback? Can these guys be spoken to honestly? Or are they guys who are not going to be able to handle the truth? And I think that Manny Malhotra is a blunt, driven guy who wants to be a head coach and believes in teaching and informing and creating structure, particularly around the face-off circle, but also believes in doing it from an accountable point of way. And plus also, I'm sure there's some talk about the fact that he's younger. He's played more recently. He's played against some of these players. I'm sure all of that was a factor. I don't think that Vancouver is really thrilled to lose him, but I know Toronto's thrilled to get him.
One final thing on Bruce. To be blunt, I just see Bruce Boudreau as a head coach in the NHL. Part of me looks at that and says, it would feel weird seeing Bruce Boudreau in an assistant capacity at this point in his career.
Well, I think the other thing too, Jeff, is that, by the way, no, you're not backing out of this. We all heard you slagging him on the radio. You're not getting out of this. You're getting radio right today. the other thing is, sorry, I just got a call. I have to decline here. I think the other thing too is that, assistant coaches have certain responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I don't know how, I'd have to ask them, but it's things like bag skates and things like that. And, I just don't know if that's the kind of thing that, would appeal to him.
Stewie, go ahead.
I do think he has a special feeling about Toronto.
I believe
no
that 100%.
Yes.
He's made that obvious. Stewie.
Freege, can you make sense of the Minnesota trade and trading Staal to Buffalo for Marcus Johansson on Minnesota's side? Because in my opinion, I think Staal's a great player. He still has lots of game left in him. And they're bringing in Johansson, who's, I think he's an inferior player. He's still a solid player. But just make sense of that on Minnesota's side, please.
Sure. I think that one of the things I'm kind of learning today about Minnesota, and I was listening and I asked a couple questions on Bill Guerin's Zoom call at the end of after the trade last night. And he had one quote, Anthony, that really stood out to me. And that is that we can keep coming. Basically says, we can keep coming back doing the same thing, or, we can try to have different results. And the more I called around and just tried to get some idea on the Wild's thinking and Guerin's thinking, I think, Anthony, they believe their room is too comfortable. That there's a lot of guys there who have no trade clauses. There's a lot of guys there who are happy playing there. And I think he feels his team lacks the edge and the will to get to a higher level. And to me, that trade last night was as much a shot across the bow of that group as it was anything else. I really believe that had played a big role in it.
Elliot, we're on the verge of the Stanley Cup Final. The Leafs have made a big hire, so I thought we'd talk about the Arizona Coyotes for a minute here. That seems to make a lot of sense to me. They just hired a new general manager in Bill Armstrong. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about their search or how they ended up with Bill Armstrong. And also, Katie Strang tweeted some news today that the Coyotes have some more financial problems. I don't know if you know anything about those. Just what's going on in Arizona these days?
I'm looking at, let me just check what Katie reported, because I mentioned it in the podcast.
It's about the rink, probably.
Yeah, I mentioned it in the podcast, which is coming out today, and it's also going to be in my blog, which is coming out today. This is what I understand is happening with that particular story. So there is a lease disagreement between the Coyotes and the group that owns and operates the lease. And that's AEG, which is Philip Anschutz, who owns the Kings. Now, I think there's a sort of like a mixed group in there. So Anschutz is a part of it, and I think another group has a part of it. So they're pretty powerful. And I think what they have alleged is that the Coyotes are in arrears on the lease. I think it's about $4 million. And I reached out to the Coyotes yesterday. They said they weren't going to comment about it. From what it sounds like to me, the Coyotes are trying to either renegotiate the lease or ask, can we pay the outstanding amount closer to the resumption of hockey, like when next year begins? Like, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's going to be agreed to, but it is an issue. To me, it's just a situation where we're going to find out. Someone's going to have to rule if they're in violation or they can renegotiate. Like, this one's out of my kind of knowledge and jurisdiction, but I know it exists and I know it's a problem. I'll tell you this. I think that what's going on in Arizona between the bonuses, the late per diems, this situation now, I think it scared some people off. But I think there's other people who look at it like there's only 32 of these jobs. They are coveted. And the one thing I'll say I heard about Bill Armstrong in this case, he was aggressive. Like, you know, if the Coyotes were concerned that he wasn't going to take this seriously or he wasn't really going to be that interested, they learned pretty quickly about that was not the case. Like, I heard his presentation was incredible. He certainly gave them the impression that this was a person who was passionate about having this particular job. It's going to be a challenge, Justin. There's no question about it. They've had big layoffs among the staff, and I don't know if the owner's personally in any financial trouble, but the organization has challenges. And I just think that some people were scared of it. He wasn't. He aggressively pursued it, and he gave them a plan that really appealed to them.
So let's stick with Bill Armstrong here for a couple of moments. And, you know, local hockey fans in this area, Generals fans, will know him from scoring a big, you know, double OT winner for the Oshawa Generals, winning the Memorial Cup against the Kitchener Rangers. He's someone that was, of course, most recently with the St. Louis Blues. That's been seen as a huge loss in St. Louis. His name has popped up a couple of different times, most recently with the Florida Panthers general manager search as well. So does he, in your estimation, pick up where Steve Sullivan left off, which is a lot of what we have must go right now? I mean, it seemed as if the Arizona Coyotes were in rebuild mode. A lot of players' names are out there, perhaps most notably Captain Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Does he pick up essentially where Sullivan leaves off, or does he come in and sort of chart his own new path for the Coyotes?
Well, I think that he will probably pick off where Sullivan leaves off. Like, he'll gather all that information. He'll get the intel of who's interested in who and who's called about who. I do think the Coyotes are going to cut a bit. I think they're going to try to recoup some of the draft picks that they lost, either in trades or from the league penalty. I do think they're going to try to move some of their guys. I think there's interest in quite a few of their players, especially on the blue line, because, you know, aside from Ekman Larson, there's a bunch of guys who are free agents after next year who are solid players, particularly Hjalmarsson. So I would expect that that's going to continue. And, you know, Armstrong got a 5-year deal. And I believe he said to them, if you want me, you have to commit to me because my plan is not going to be short. And I think the organization believes in that, too, that they have to kind of try again. And those kinds of things are not short-term things.
Stewie.
Elliot, what's your thoughts on Jim Montgomery to the St. Louis Blues?
Well, I'm happy for him. You know, I'd heard if Babcock had gone to Washington that maybe Montgomery would have been on his radar. So obviously teams were talking about him. You know, I've spoken to him once. You know, I texted with him periodically and frequently. You know, I mean, all you do is you wish that everybody deserves a chance to make amends. And I think in particular, he's got a big family. He's got a wife. He's got 4 kids. Like, you root for the family too, right? And I think that when you're in a situation where you're trying to, you know, rebuild personally, you need something in your life that you know and you're comfortable with. And Jim Montgomery had told me he's a hockey coach and he wanted to be a hockey coach, and now he's going to get to be a hockey coach again. You know, he's got family ties to St. Louis. He played in St. Louis. I think it's just, it's a good thing, Anthony, and I hope it means that it's just another step on a battle that's kind of like a day-to-day challenge. So I don't know how anyone couldn't be happy for him and his family.
I've got a question to this time that may be a short answer. I don't fully understand how...
I have no short answers. You should know that by now.
All right, perfect.
I've appreciated Bieksa says.
I was going to say, I've appreciated Bieksa. Someone on the panel giving you the gears has been delightful. My question is just, do owners of the teams who are in the conference finals and soon to be the Stanley Cup finals, do they just get hosed this year? Like, they build their teams, they finally get their teams to go on a deep playoff run, and they don't get the chance to earn any of the gate or make any extra money than a team who basically didn't even make it into the play in the series? Or is there some extra cut for teams like that?
You know, like, Justin, like, what are you going to do? Like,
oh, I know, yeah.
The world is so screwed up. Like, you know, for example, Justin, like, you've got ties to the Islanders. Don't you feel bad for the Islanders fans who can't celebrate this in person?
Well, and the owners who've taken such a big plunge to do what they've done in Long Island.
Like, unfortunately, it just sucks right now. Like, there's nothing else you can really do. We all just have to suck it up and eat it. As for Bieksa, it's just nauseating all the love he's getting. Like, it really is. Like, we all know he's not really that good, but, like, he's just getting a nauseating amount of love right now.
Hold on a second here. I get that, you know, everything, oh, it's bad, it's a bad situation, and what are you going to do? You were complaining on the podcast this week about missing out on a potential Tampa-Vegas final.
Yes, I was. I was whining, yes. If Tampa and Vegas had made the final and we couldn't travel, I was complaining. That is absolutely true. Yes, I was. But generally, there's not much you can do.
You make the best of a bad situation. That's what everyone's doing right now. I want to swing back to Minnesota here for a couple of seconds. And we've seen Rutherford and Guerin do a lot of deals. Bill and Jim's excellent adventure continues. These two formerly working together in the same organization. You know, the Zucker deal previous, the Bjugstad deal. I don't know that either of these two are done. We know that Jim Rutherford is never done, and we're getting the sense now that Bill Guerin, you know, is probably not done, and everybody is looking at one player specifically, and that's Matt Dumba. There are three defensemen they have with no trade clauses. We know the expansion draft is coming up for the Seattle Kraken, and that's going to be an issue. So if Minnesota just wants to protect 8 players, then Dumba's probably fine. Otherwise, they're going to risk losing him unless they move him. What is the update with Minnesota and Matt Dumba? Is there a future there?
Well, last night I was on a conference call, and I asked Bill Guerin if he'd called Dumba since Brodin's extension, because Brodin's getting a no move clause, which means for the 4 years, which means he cannot be exposed in the expansion draft. And, you know, I said, have you called him? And he, you know, I thought he gave a really good answer. He said, I haven't called him and I wouldn't, because I was a player and you can't make a guarantee. Like, you can't make anybody a guarantee that you can't keep. But the one thing that he did say was, you know, I'll put our top 4D against anyone if Matt's back next year. And Dumba's name and Brodin's name were out there at the beginning of last year when things weren't going very well for Minnesota. And I asked Aaron about it. He didn't say much, but the one thing I did hear was he told teams that I have something I want, which was an elite center, and I'm not making the deal unless I get an elite center. Now, the other thing we asked Garen yesterday in the conference call was, you know, are you comfortable enough at center now? And he said, number ones are hard to get. We'll go at it by committee if we have to. So it was kind of, I'd still like to get another one, but I'm just not sure I'm going to be able to. But I really do think that what last year taught me with Garen, because the surest predictor of future behavior is past behavior, is that he won't make the deal until he gets what he wants. And that's kind of where I think it is. I think Dumba's name is out there. I think teams are calling about him. But at this point in time, and we'll see if the expansion clock changes everything, Jeff, he's got a limit, and he's not going below it.
Stewie.
Yeah, I'm here. So free agency's fast approaching.
I just gave up. Like, you're like, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
Stewie's bored. Stewie's like, yeah, I've had enough of these clowns.
No, I got my dog. My dog, honestly, he's like 50 feet away, and I can still hear him snoring. So I got my mic off because I don't like it. It's embarrassing. He sounds like an old man. With free agency fast approaching here, what do you see the Leafs doing in the offseason here to add to the roster?
Well, I think they do want to change their mix a bit. I think they're gonna definitely look to improve the blue line. I think that's something there. I think they want, like, you know, yesterday Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun had the report that Kyle Clifford's going to free agency. I do think they want to add some edge to their roster. I do think that's going to happen. The price point is tough. They're near the cap. There's no question about it. I heard Kyle Dubas reached out to Frederick Anderson to say, look, teams are calling about you. We're not actively looking to do it. I think that Dubas has told teams he won't make a move in goal unless he thinks it's better, but he's not making his team worse in goal. But I do think, Ant, I think they're going to look on D. I think they're going to look for some edge, and they're kind of going to go for there. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. I really do believe he wants to bring back his big four forwards. I don't know if it will happen, but I think that's his preference.
Elliot, how have things gone for the NHL in the return to play? I'm thinking ratings when I ask that. It's a weird time. It's tough to get a feel for who's watching what because there's so much on at the same time. Are they happy with the response? Have they done well or at least met expectations in the return to play?
I think people deserve a ton of credit. I really do. I just imagine being away from my wife and son from July 25th until now. Like, I have a joke I use that I use, Justin. Like, that would be good for my wife's boyfriend, but just not for me, right? I just imagine, like, what it would be like to be away from then until now and how hard it is. And it's, you know, it's not just the players, it's the coaches, it's the team staff, it's the NHL employees that are working there. Like, we've got coworkers from Rogers who are in the Edmonton bubble. And, you know, it's a challenge. And I think, like, I really do believe that that they've put on the best show they can. I think they deserve a lot of credit. And I was talking to Jamie Benn yesterday, and one of the things we were talking about was that now you can see the prize and it adds another level. Like, all of a sudden the prize is there. You know, the Stanley Cup is right in front of you and this journey is coming to the end and you have a chance to achieve what you wanted to achieve. And I really do think that I've gotten the sense from the four teams that reached the semifinal that it adds another layer of excitement that you need. Because all of a sudden, you can see it. And that creates something inside you.
Friedge, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the your final thought here on one of the other headline issues from around the NHL this week, and that's Peter Laviolette. We spoke to him yesterday for the podcast that should be released here any minute now, actually, at Spotify and Sportsnet.ca and Apple Podcasts. What did you take away from our talk with Peter Laviolette yesterday? Is this going to work with him and Washington? And if so, how?
I think you can tell, Jeff, that, like, I think they're, like, when this job became open, it was a coveted job. It was, people wanted it. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want it? Like, who wouldn't want a coach? And you know, like, Laviolette's a guy who shows a lot of his passion privately as opposed to publicly. Like, when he comes out and talks to us, he tries to be very measured. I thought his passion came across in the conversation. And the one thing he said about the team was, I don't have to rebuild anything here. We're not building from the bottom. Like, we have a great team, and I just have to find them, help them, push them, and motivate them to get one more step on the ladder. And I think that's interesting. Like, one of the things I heard they're kind of disappointed about is they let Chandler Stephenson go, and he found a role in Vegas. Yep. They let Andrei Burakovsky go, and they put a lot of effort into him, and he found a role in Colorado. And I think they're kind of like, okay, maybe we have to have a different approach to try to make this work with the people we have here as opposed to trading them out. And that's, I think, what he, you know, it's like that book, The Extra 2%. He wants to get the extra 2% out of his group.